Father God, we do thank you for this morning that you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the good spirit that's already in the church. And we thank you for the ones that are able to come to class this morning, Lord. We'd love to see the smiles and the good heart and the good souls, Lord. We thank you for taking care of us. And Lord, you've heard the prayer request. And even the ones that are not mentioned, Lord, you know what's going on in our lives. And you know our needs, and you will meet them, Lord. You always have and you always will. Lord, we do thank you so much for being in control. And Lord, we pray you'll continue to be with us throughout the day and help the teachers and our preachers, Lord. Just be with them. Just take care of them, Lord, and keep them strong in the faith. And Lord, we need your help too. Would you keep us strong like we need to be Christians on a daily basis, like we need to be and be a light unto this world. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the cross. In Jesus' name.
I forgot to mention, Preacher will be going down to the Bible conference in DeLand at Brother Knox's, so keep him in prayer. I think next week it is sometime. So that's another thing you can add to our request. Me? Oh, yeah, it is a good time to go. Hopefully they'll get some storms down there like we used to see. again, good that you all made it today. Now, what's going to happen if somebody sets off an EMT bomb and we no longer have access to our phones, to our computers? What's going to happen? Are we going to know the Word of God? These are so handy to pull up when you need something, but it's not going to replace our mind, our brain. And again, that's why I encourage you to memorize the books of the Bible. And I'm wondering, how are you coming along? Any competition between you, your wife, your family? Nora and I, as we're driving along, you know, I usually pull my stunts. We'll get on that, and I'll say, well, tell me what it is, because I didn't remember some of them. So I says, yeah, you don't know, do you? I'm not telling you, I tell her. You play that role. All right, but anyway, as we get going, last week we left off at knowing... how do we know the Lord Jesus Christ? And the first thing, of course, is to be born again. And we looked at that. And then secondly, we said to really know the Lord Jesus Christ, we must read and study His Word, get into the Scriptures, and then apply it to our lives. And the next thing was to pray to Him. We pray in His name. We pray to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the order that the Scripture lays down. And then we, in order to get to know Him, we need to listen to Him. You say, but I don't hear an audible voice. You have His Word right here in the Bible. So we need to listen to Him. That's why it's important that we get into the book and read it and study it, listen to it. There's a number of ways you can do it. We've gone over this before. You can listen as you read. You can listen when you can't read and you can just listen. Or if you're a good reader, you can read. So we have no excuse. And then we covered that you must spend time with Him. And we need to do that. We need to set aside time for the Lord Jesus Christ and spend time in reading and studying and praying and talking to Him. Just laying out what's on your heart to the Lord. Then today what we'll do, we'll pick up from there, spending time with the Lord, and then we have to learn from Him. Again, it all goes back to the Word of God. How do we learn from the Lord Jesus Christ is by getting into His Word. What are some of the things we can learn It's how to treat people. You know, we all have our own characteristics. We grew up different areas. Some of us grew up, in the north, in the city where you're crude, you're rough, and you have to learn to change some of those things, and you can't be like that all the time. So you learn how to treat people. And not like in the South where you were trained, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, and so forth. Some of us in the North, we were in the city areas. We were trained that because our parents come up in the age of the Depression, and they knew how to treat people, and they went through hard times, and they didn't want us having to do those same things. So, also, how do you deal with situations? Each of us face different situations in our lives, whether it's dealing with people, whether it's in work. How do you act when a boss is a real jerk and on your case all the time? One thing I can't stand is somebody trying to, I forget the term now, but it's wanting you to do everything his way, how he wants, micromanage. Yeah, I can't tolerate that. Tell me what you want done. If you want it done a certain way, tell me, I'll get it done. But don't stand over me, and don't be checking me every second. I can't stand that. And we need to learn from that so that we don't do the same things to others that we can't stand ourselves. And that's what happens many times. So it's, Lord, how do I handle this situation? How would you do it? Teach me, Lord. James 1 and verse 5 says, if you lack wisdom, ask wisdom. And there's so many times that I have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need wisdom. I'm at a wall. I don't know what to do. How would you do it, Lord? What would you want me to do? What would you want me to say? How do I go through this, Lord? These problems that I'm facing, how do I handle them? How would you handle them? Work through me, Lord. Set me aside and let you get the honor and glory from this situation. And we have to understand the Lord Jesus Christ, what he wants from us as a Christian. And I use that term, a Christian is one who is Christ-like. And again, there's believers and there's Christians. And I hope that every one of us is a Christian. And that's why I'll use that term, to be Christ-like. What do you require? What do you like, Lord? What do you dislike? What do you hate? What do you want me to stay away from? Questionable. If it's questionable, you're not sure, back off. Stay away from it until you get clear leading from the Lord that it's okay to, whatever it is, take part in that, go there.
I have a simple thing that I do sometimes. It's just for me when I pray like that, asking God. And when I do really get the right answer, when my mind and my heart are together on it,
yeah,
and I know I'm making the right decision. But if it's not, I don't do it.
Yeah, that's the best way. If you're not sure, don't do it. It's like walking as kids when the ice was frozen, you're on a pond or a lake, and you're not sure about that ice. You don't do what we stupid kids did. You keep testing it and pushing it. You're going to go in that water one day. And when it comes to sin, you don't want that. Don't don't get where it's fun to walk up to the edge and play at the edge, because that's going to crumble under your feet one day. And then you're gonna pay the price. You're gonna reap what you've sown, and then realize how stupid you were. Because for that season of fun, there's a price to pay, and you don't want to do that. So find out what the Lord likes, what He hates, and yes, the Lord hates too. The Lord loves. There's a balance there, and you've got to find that balance. And then we have to do what He says. No matter what, we have to do what He says. You put the Lord Jesus Christ first in your life before everything and everybody else. That includes your husband, your wife. Now, I'm not saying, and don't take this wrong, because God established the family. He put the family together, and you're to love one another, and you're to look out for her or him. But if you know there's something right to do, and it's not going to, even if it does cause a problem, the husband or the wife may not want to participate or go to church or something in that manner. You know it's right to do. So you better do as the Bible tells us, and you better apply it to your life, and you better expect God to bless your faithfulness, and things will turn around for you. Especially if you're both saved. So you put the Lord above your husband, your wife, your children, your job. How many times? Now, I know it's required in some cases where a man or a woman will have to work during church times. And, you know, if you're in that position, you know, fine. If you don't have another position you can get, another job, then that's fine. You do what you have to do. Police officers, firemen, public servants like that. It's not that you're forgetting the Lord or putting Him aside, but it's you're providing for your family. And until the Lord opens something else for you, then you do what you got to do. So you put Him first in your life. And you give Him preeminence in your life. Preeminence is the first thing. You have to love Him. You have to love Him and give Him all your heart. How do you do that? By living for Him, allowing Him to live His life in and through you. And you, again, you know He's in you, because when you got born again, the Holy Spirit came to live within. So we have no problem with that. When you put Him first in your life, and you give Him preeminence in your life, and you give Him all your heart, and you apply the Word of God to your life, the results will be, you will be a better husband, because you'll be living the life that the Lord wants you to live. You'll love your wife more. You'll be a better wife if you're a female and you're married. Again, the same thing. You'll love your husband more, because it'll be Christ in and through you. You'll be a better father, a better mother, better grandparent, better friend, a better Christian, if we apply these principles to our lives, simply by loving Jesus Christ more and giving Him all your heart. And then He will show you how to treat one another and love one another. And this all happens when you put the Lord first. And some people are hard to love. I understand that. There's people, even here in this church, that you may not be able to tolerate or want to tolerate. But when you allow Christ to live His life in and through you, then you can love him or her as Christ loves them. And then the next part of that verse, the first part was in verse 10, was to know him, and that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection. Now this one threw me for a loop. The power of his resurrection, what's it talking about? Is it talking about the spiritual resurrection that you find in Ephesians chapter 2? Look that up, Ephesians chapter 2. Right back up a book, Galatians, Ephesians 2. And look at verse number 5. And that reads, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So here's one type of resurrection. We're seated in the heavenlies with the Lord Jesus Christ when you get born again. Who's going to take me out of Christ? I'm seated there. I'm part of His body. So is that the resurrection He's talking about? I'm not sure. I don't think so. Or is it 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Turn over there. A few books over to the right. 1 Thessalonians, just before Timothy. After Colossians chapter 4, and here's what a lot of people are looking for today, saved people, and that reads, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now asleep, speaking in this context, is those that are in the grave, that have died physically, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And you know this because if you've attended funerals where there's lost people there, whether it's a person that died and their family that is lost, you can tell by their actions, they're crying, they're weeping, and they have no assurance where that lost loved one is. But you go to the funeral service or homegoing, however you want to call it, of a saved person, and it's totally different. You know that person's with the Lord that's in that casket, the body's in the casket. You know he's with the Lord or she's with the Lord, and you have that confidence. But sure, you're going to miss them. There's a hurt, there's a sorrow there. Because you love that person and you're going to miss them. But it's not the same for a lost person as it is a saved person. So keep reading there, verse 13. Ye sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus Christ died, rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about the plan of salvation, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you've heard that message, you believe that, you called on the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, to forgive your sins, you accept His sacrifice for you, then you get born again. So now, verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So verse 16 wraps it up. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then the kicker there is verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So we're to comfort one another with the words that the coming of the Lord to call His people home, that's what we look forward to. Being called out of here, whether we're alive or whether we died in the Lord before He's come back. And we call that the rapture of the church. So, is that the one He's... I don't think He's talking about that one either. Because he was looking for the coming of the Lord even back then. And as we should be looking for the Lord today to come back and call us out of here to be with Him. And then the third one, was He looking for the power to raise the dead, talking about the resurrection? And He had that power. Who did He raise from the dead? Eutychus. What happened in that case? Acts 20, you can read it if you want. Acts 20, verses 7 through 12. And here He was preaching. Now, this wasn't just from 11 to 12, and He looking to go home for lunch. This was all day, all night. He was preaching. When you read the event of that in Acts 20, Eutychus went up to the window. He was up on at least second floor, I guess, and he fell asleep on the window. Now, they didn't have back then the windows like we did then. It was open. And he fell asleep there, and he tumbled, took a tumble. So Paul went out there and laid on his body, and his life came back into him. He says, fear not, his life is within him. Now, that happened for your cross-reference. You can go to 1 Kings chapter 17. Verse 21 and 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 34, where the young lad was dead, and the prophet did the same thing, laid his body on his, and on the one he breathed into him a picture of the Holy Spirit coming into a believer and rose from the dead. So, the Bible is so interesting, and so many cross references in there that you can find. So, was it that? I don't know. It was one of those, I'm sure. But I found seven assurances that the resurrection gives us. And I says, oh no, I left the paper home. You know how you panic, your heart stops, and you try and be cool? all right, so we'll take a look at these, and then we'll move on. Seven assurances that we have because of the resurrection. First of all, the resurrection of Christ assures us that God has accepted Christ's sacrifice for our sins. Okay, cross-reference for that is Romans 4, 25 and Romans 10, 9. I think we have time to cover those. Romans 4, 25. And that says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So we would not be justified before God if it wasn't for Christ's resurrection. And then Romans 10:9, have a familiar verse for most of us, especially if we've done any witnessing. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. No question about it. So the first assurance is that The resurrection of Christ assures us that God has accepted Christ's sacrifice for our sins. Speaking of witnessing, I've got a friend in the Philippines, a pastor there, a local Filipino pastor, Winston White. The guy is tremendous. When we were there in the Philippines, he was such an example, and his life is like that. Everybody that's been there that knows him says the same thing. We preached at his church in Guimaras, Catawahan Bible Believers Church, I think it is, and it was unbelievable. The people would sit there. We started in the morning, probably 9 o'clock, and took a break for lunch, and were there till after dark, after 5, 6 o'clock. People just absorbing the Word, and it was great. But anyway, whenever Winston would take us someplace, we went, we stopped, and got at a barber shop. Now, I didn't dare do this at home, because Nora would have killed me. I got my hair cut short, and if I did that at home, I wouldn't be here today. So I wasn't going to be home for another week or so, so I was safe. I warned her when I talked to her. I said, I got my hair cut short. And that's all I said. She says, well, it'll grow back. So far it hasn't. This was 2007, I think it was. I'm waiting to go to a healer. Be healed! Didn't work. But anyway, we go to the barber shop, and Winston would go up to the owner. He'd say, would it be okay if I preached while we're here? I said, sure. And he preached in that barber shop, gave the plan of salvation. We get on a boat to cross over to the other island, and he would start preaching. We're in a taxi cab going in the city there, and he's witnessing to that taxi cab driver. Everywhere we went, this man is a total walking witness. And the Lord is blessed there, and he's been a real, real thrill to my heart. I wish we could get him here one day. Very humble. Not like me. Very humble. We've been corresponding back and forth since that time. That was in 2007. And the work that he's doing, and he's not well-to-do. He's just a person that lives serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves the Lord, and his life shows it. Puts me to shame when I think of it. You know, how many times I pass up the opportunity to say something or give a track, because in our busy lifestyle, which we don't do anything anyway, you know, I could have. One day I'm going to have to answer for that too, as we all will. We should have, we could have. Why didn't we? But anyway, the gospel message assures us that Christ has forgiven our sins. Then secondly, the resurrection of Christ assures that there is life after death. The resurrection assures us that because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that we have that opportunity to rise from the dead or to live eternally. And for the saved person, the hope of immortality becomes a reality at the resurrection. You find this in John 11, verses 24 through 26. In John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. So those are the cross-references for those about the resurrection. And then the resurrection assures us that Christ is within us in this present time. Because of the resurrection, Christ lives within us, and if we allow him to live his life in and through us. And the verses, I forgot to mark them down, but you, when I teach about reciprocal indwelling, Christ in us and we were in Christ. And then fourth, the resurrection assures us that we have an advocate in heaven. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 says, 1 John chapter 2, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not, and that if any man have sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So we have an advocate with for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. What's an advocate? Get in trouble sometime, and you need a lawyer. That's your advocate. Jesus Christ is our lawyer, stands before the Father. And what happens there? Revelation 12 and verse 10 says that Satan is our accuser. He's up there accusing us to God. Look at him. Look what he did. Look what he thought. Look what he said. And the Father will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what about that, son? He sees the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord holds up his hands. See the nail prints, my shed blood. Those sins are all gone, remembered no more. So that's what our advocate does for us. And you've got Romans 8:27 and verse 34. Romans chapter 8, verse 27 and verse 34. And then you read the whole chapter of Hebrews 7, and you find out about him being our intercessor. And he intercedes for us. Romans 8:27, 34, Hebrews 7:25. And then we find in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 that he is our mediator. He's our mediator. And then Hebrews 9:24, he appears in the presence of God for us. So we have a lot to be thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then number five, the resurrection assures us of the necessary power to live as God requires and desires us to live. No matter what the skeptics or lost people say about Bible Christianity, and they do say a lot, they cannot deny the power of a changed life from somebody that was involved in sin, no matter what it was. You take a murderer, a liar, a druggie, a wife beater, a fornicator, whatever it is, a changed life. They cannot deny that. And that's one way of knowing that the resurrection assures us of the power to live as God requires us to do, because we cannot do it on our own. The resurrection of Jesus gives a believer the power to have victory over sin in their lives and live a life that is pleasing to God. You have 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Then you have to go along with that, Ephesians 4 and verse 24. And also Colossians 3, verses 10 through 12, and Romans 13 and verse 14. Now, the resurrection assures us, number 6, of the new bodies we will have one day. And won't that be a blessing? You know, as you get older, you cannot do the things you used to do. I was telling Junior before class, I says, my son in Florida sent me a workout schedule, and part of it was jumping rope. jumping rope, you know, I got a bad knee, bad knees, but one especially. I says, I'm a tough guy, I'll do it anyway. I was limping for 2 days. You pay the price. Your bodies get old. They fall apart. They hurt. They're in pain. But one day we get called out of here, we get our new bodies, no more will we have to face that. No longer will it be incorruptible. No more diseases. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. Then also 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42, and then verses 52 through 54 in the same chapter. And the last one is the resurrection assures us of the returning King, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will rule and reign during that millennial 1,000 years, and then after the white throne judgment and the other judgments, judgment of the nations and so forth, on into eternity, King Jesus forever and ever and ever. Acts 1, 9 through 11, the returning King. Acts 1, 9 through 11. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 through 10. And then to top it off, Revelation 1, verses 7. Verses 9, Revelation 19, 11 through 21. That was Revelation 1, verse 7, and Revelation 19, 11 through 21. So those are seven assurances that the resurrection gives to us. And they should be exciting to you, and we should live more and be encouraged to live more for the Lord Jesus Christ as a result. All right, Danny, how about praying for us?
Father, your word never fails to amaze us. And the blessings that we have in this book, Father, they just overwhelm us of your goodness and your mercy, that you didn't share a portion of your mind with us. So, Father, we just thank you for all your blessings this day. We pray, Father, for the services that are coming up. Pray, Father, that your hand will be on it. Pray, Father, that someone who needs Christ more than anything will accept him as Lord and Savior today. Thank you for John's preparation, his diligence, and it's going on. So many prayer requests, Father, are going up, so we just turn those over to you for your will to be done. But, Father, in all things, we just want to give you honor and grace and glory. And we can't thank you enough for salvation through Jesus Christ. And for this life that you've given us to live, through Jesus Christ, and it's his name we pray.
Amen. Amen.